It is a delight to be here at St. George with all of you and with your rector, Father Jim. Father Jim and I have known each other for over 30 years. We went to seminary together. We have been through thick and thin, there, past there, South Carolina, all kinds of places. You all are very blessed, and I know you know this, but you are very blessed to have Father Jim as your rector, and I am grateful for his friendship through the years. I bring you greetings today from my boss, Bishop Michael Curry, the presiding bishop and primate of the Episcopal Church, who just minutes before service FaceTimed with me as I was walking in and said he wanted to make sure and say to the people of God here at St. George, God bless you, God love you, and keep the faith. I serve as his canon for ministry beyond the Episcopal Church, or as he puts it, his Secretary of State. In fact, we'll be in meetings together, and he'll start. I was telling Henry the other day about this, and then Henry told me this, and people will look at me and say, why is he calling Chuck Henry? And I will just sigh deeply and say, Kissinger. As part of my job, I oversee our Office of Global Partnerships and Mission Personnel, working with the Anglican Communion, the Office of the Archbishop of Canterbury, and others throughout the world. I also oversee our Ecumenical and Interreligious Relations, our Office of Government Relations in D.C., and Episcopal Migration Ministries. And I also liaise and work quite closely with a group that I'm especially mindful of today, and that is the chaplains of the Armed Forces and Federal Ministries. I'm especially conscious of their ministry and of the ministry and work of all those they serve throughout the world in military bases, both home and abroad. And on this day and this weekend, as an Army brat myself, I want to say a thank you to all of you who have served in the armed forces. Would you please stand if you are a veteran of the armed forces? Thank you. To you we give our thanks, and to all those who are not with us, but who have given the full measure, we give thanks. In my job, I travel a lot. In fact, I'm not sure if it's a bad thing or a good thing, that the fact that the TSA folks, the CLEAR folks, and the people at the United Club all know me by name when I come through Orlando Airport every week after week. I travel throughout the states. I've been to 49 out of 50. I'll let you guess, and maybe you can tell me later which one you think is the one I still have yet to get to. I have also traveled to almost 50 countries and counting. It'll be 50 by the end of this year. I've been all over and seen extraordinary places and met with extraordinary people. It has been a delight and a privilege to immerse myself and to find myself just immersed in the culture, the language, the food, the people of these other places, whether it is Tanzania or El Salvador or New Zealand or Sri Lanka or wherever. But I'll tell you this, and if you've traveled internationally, you will know what I mean by this. When I am in a place and totally immersed in that other place, with an interpreter helping me throughout, hearing and seeing and just immersed in that language and culture, there is something remarkable that happens when I suddenly hear an American accent. Suddenly, if I hear someone say something and I say, oh, I knew that. I know that. I know what they said. It's almost jarring at first if you've been in a place long enough that all you're hearing is something else. But suddenly, for that moment, and it's not the matter that we're the best or whatever. Every place I've been, God is doing incredible things in all those places. But this is my special place. This is my home. And in that moment, when I hear those words in my language that I understand, in that moment, wherever I am in the world, I am home. I belong. Hold that thought for a moment. Today is Pentecost. It is easy for us to forget that Pentecost was around before the church was. It was actually was and is a Jewish feast. Shavuot is the feast of harvest, the feast of first fruits, and as they also call it, the feast of weeks, Pentecost, Penta, if you take the word, you can get 50. It's 50 days for us after the events of Easter. It is 7 times 7, 7 weeks of 7 days plus one after the Passover. For the Jews, it has been since the destruction of the temple in 70 AD. It has been instead a time to focus on the giving of the Torah, the law, that was given through Moses on Mount Sinai. But in those days when the temple still stood, in the days of Acts 2, in those days it was still very much a harvest festival, and people would bring, they would come on pilgrimage, bringing gifts, first fruits, or some kind of gift that represented the first fruits, and bring it to the temple. And so it is that we heard just a few minutes ago that on that Pentecost that we celebrate, there were people from all over the place. That was a beautiful reading, by the way, those who are reading in the different languages. Well, on that day, there were Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Pontus, and Pamphylia. You heard all those places. All those people from different places, all gathered there as pilgrims. And suddenly, a miracle occurs. They suddenly hear, in their own language, they hear and understand, they hear about the love of God in their words. They belonged. They were at home. Now, let me ask you, how many of you born and grew up right here in this area? How many of you born and grew up right here? Yeah, I didn't think so. At the count of three, I want you, each and every one of you, to tell me where you came from before your journey led you eventually to here to the Villages. Where did you come from? Where was home before this? So at the count of three, each of you tell me. 1, 2, 3. Got them all. All right, thank you. Yesterday, we got a great tour. My wife, Debbie, and I got a great tour from my sister, Pam, and brother-in-law, Frank, of all the Villages. I've been here before. I was here for your installation that great day. I've been here to the Villages before, but never had that tour. And as part of the tour, we went to a particular building that looks like it's a hotel inside, but it's not. And it has shops in it, but also is where people go when they're first moving here. Y'all probably know what I'm talking about, that place. And it has a sign in this place. As people were saying hello and welcome, I think they thought we were going to move here. And so they were like, hello, welcome. What can we do for you? I said, yes, sounds good. But I wanted to see the sign. And I said, what is a sign? It's a sign that has the names of people and their state. And I said, what is this? And they said, oh, that's the past 2 days of people moving into the Villages. And all these names and all these states. Now, they weren't Parthians, Medes, or Elamites, but they were New Jerseyans, New Yorkers, Pennsylvanians, etc. All coming to this place. And for a moment there, I just stopped, and as Pam and Frank were continuing to show us, I just literally stopped for a moment. I was chatting with the gentleman who was telling me about the sign. I started asking him about his place. I said, tell me about your home. Where were you from? What was it like when you moved here? What was it like? You see, I happen to love Sherlock Holmes. I don't know if anyone else here has ever read the stories or seen any of the many, many versions of Sherlock Holmes. I love Sherlock Holmes because Sherlock Holmes, he's my hero because he doesn't just see, he likes to find out. He has lots of questions. He wants to go in deeper. And at that moment, I just kept wondering, those names, just names on a board, but each one of those names, individuals who come here bringing with them a lifetime of dreams and hopes and triumphs and sorrows and tragedies and hurts. Each name on that board, an individual who comes with who knows what. As the late comedian and actor Robin Williams once said, everyone you meet is fighting a battle you know nothing about. So be kind, always. I travel a lot. And as that travel, I'm on planes all the time, and every single flight, I would literally put money on the fact that it is 100% of the time. Every single flight, I will see at least one person who tries to put in the overhead bin a piece of luggage that should not be going up there. I mean, I will see people who have like those crates, you know, that you put on a ship to send over, and they'll be trying, oh, I can get it in, I can get it, just give me another minute. I remember one gentleman in particular who was trying to get his bag up there, and he was dripping with sweat. I mean, it was just pouring off of him as he is grunting and pushing and cursing under his breath, but everyone could hear it. And the flight attendant came up to him and said, sir, we'll take care of that for you. We'll check, you know, we'll gate check it for you. No, I can get it in there. And he grunted and sweated and pushed and cursed some more. Until finally the flight attendant said, sir, you're going to have to let go and let us help you. All those names that I saw yesterday, in the past 2 days, people coming here with a lifetime of joys and sorrows, triumphs and tragedies, who knows what battles they were or are facing. 5 years ago, this very month, 5 years ago, my boss, Michael Curry, preached at a small wedding across the pond. You may or may not have heard about that. 2 billion people, not million, 2 billion people saw or heard that sermon, in which in 13 and a half minutes he said the word love 60 times. He talked about the love of God, not some sentimental thing, but that unselfish love of God that we are called to bear and share with all those we meet. He talked about love, and as one magazine said afterwards, their headline said, he took everyone to church that day. And as one person said in a Twitter feed, whoa, the world needed to hear that. World still does. You see, if we go back to Pentecost, back to Acts 2, the miracle of Acts is not that the people heard this divine simultaneous translation. That's all fine and good. It's a nice divine trick, huh? Oh, wow, we all heard him speak in our language. That's not the miracle. The miracle is what occurs from that point forward as those people come together, and as we're told just three chapters later, they were all of one heart and mind, and no one was in need, for everyone took care of each other. As many as had need, they came to the apostles, and they made sure there was care for them. The miracle of Pentecost is the love of God, not just spoken, but lived out and experienced by those who desperately need to find a home and belonging. But what's that look like? Let me tell you. Years ago, when I was a parish priest myself, and when I was also a visiting professor, I was at Emory University. Anyone know of Emory in Atlanta, Georgia? I was doing a guest talk there, and I'm walking down on the green in front of this museum that they have there. And as I'm going along, I look in the distance, and I stop. I see this tiny man, a little frail, and I recognize, oh my goodness, I think that's Desmond Tutu, the Nobel laureate, the Archbishop of Cape Town, the one who single-handedly for a time fought against apartheid and raised up a movement. There he was, and right next to him was this, how do you describe this guy? A refrigerator with legs. This guy, big, big guy. And I mean, I run up, Archbishop! And suddenly I hear this booming voice, the Archbishop is busy. Sorry. And I start to head off. And then I hear another voice. No, come. So I run back. Tell me your name. Chuck Robertson, sir. Chuck Robertson. Tell me about yourself, Chuck Robertson. For the next 7 to 8 minutes, I was the most important person on the planet to a man who had spent time with presidents and prime ministers, with queens and princes, with archbishops and chief rabbis. For 7 to 8 minutes, he gave me his full, complete attention and care. For those 7 to 8 minutes, I was home, I belonged, I mattered. 7, 8 minutes, and then suddenly, the refrigerator grunts. I said, thank you. What a privilege, thank you. As I turn to leave, puts a hand on my shoulder, one more time, looks me in the eye, and said, I will remember you, Chuck Robertson. I'm not Desmond Tutu, neither are you. But every single one of us is an ambassador for God and Jesus Christ. Every single one of us, guarantee you, today, this week, will encounter someone, maybe just in passing, maybe in the line when you're shopping or you're getting ready to eat, maybe someone who moves on the block, maybe next week someone who walks through these doors, or even today. Guarantee you, you and I will meet someone or someones who we will not know what battles they are fighting, what triumphs they've had, what joys in their life, what sorrows they bear. But in that moment of meeting, it is our call from God to make sure they know they are the most important person on the planet, that they belong, that they are home with us in that moment, that they are God's beloved. If we do that, when we do that, Pentecost comes anew for that person. Pentecost comes anew, and the world is changed once more, one life at a time. Amen.